Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
There's a lot more to football than what really meets the eye. There are days when you could give it up. There are days when you could fly. You either love or hate it, depending on the score. But when your team run out or they kick a goal, how's a mighty roar.
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
It's that time of the week again when us footy tragics, the girls, we all talk about AFL for half an hour. And I'm in the studio. I'm Fiona Newton. I'm joined, as always, by Danae Gibson.
Hello, hello.
A sad little docker at the moment. And Bree, we've got a big interchange bench here at Chicks Talking Footy. And Bree, resident tiger.
We're pumped up this week.
Very happy tiger.
We are a happy tiger. I couldn't have timed it better.
We're hoping to shut you up somehow. But you'll probably be talking about that all week. Also tonight, we're going to be talking to a D's player, Cecilia McIntosh, who's going to be playing in the women's game at the MCG. And here's a little bit about what she said when she got recruited to be a D's player.
I've been waiting for this for the last couple of years, so to finally be able to be named is a dream.
When your name was called out, what was the immediate reaction?
Shocked to begin with, but then joy, a lot of joy, yeah.
We love how she had a lot of joy. Thought that was appropriate for the show and for the station. We're going to be talking to Cecilia in just a moment. We're very excited to be going to the women's game. I think we're all going.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
On Sunday. Wouldn't miss it for the world. And we're also, Danae and I were at the Purple Bombers event last night.
Yes, we were.
And we had lots of canapes. Is that how you say it? Canapes?
I think so.
I'm not posh enough.
I had more champagne than canapes, but that's okay. It was the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. And Ida Hobbit, Ida Hot.
Ida Hot. It keeps changing, doesn't it? It keeps expanding.
Okay. It was just a day where I think the mainstream media recognise homophobia and transphobia in a quite positive way. And I heard lots of different discussions happening yesterday. And we went to a function last night with the Purple Bombers.
And we're going to be playing an interview that we had with someone, or a discussion we had with someone there. So you can experience part of the night yourself. And maybe you can make yourself a little canapé while you're listening. All right. Bree, round eight.
Round eight. Bit of an exciting round.
Yes, I know you're excited. But yeah. What were some of the things that happened?
Well, we had the Patrick Dangerfield Cup in Adelaide, in case anyone missed it. Geelong dominated, but they were inaccurate. But they got the job done.
Yeah. Well, really. I was actually in Adelaide on Friday night.
Were you at the game?
Well, no. I actually had the option to go. I got invited by some strangers on the winery tour at the Barossa. But it was funny. The city was electric, and I thought, I'm really looking forward to being in a pub with a whole lot of Adelaide supporters. But the city died as soon as the game started. There was no one around. So the whole city went to the game. So.
Speaking about dying, I think football in Queensland is in a bit of a rut, isn't it? Gold Coast were terrible and Brisbane were listless, according to their coach.
Well, maybe Lee Matthews was right and we only need one team in the whole state.
Mm. When we get a Queenslander on, we'll talk about that in more depth, I think. But in the meantime, we don't really care that much, do we?
No. Well, we do, because, you know, Brisbane were Fitzroy.
Yeah.
You know, they've got that Melbourne connection.
They didn't quite translate the same way as South Melbourne translated to Sydney, I don't think.
Well, they did win three premierships.
I know, but it's in the supporters' loyalty to that team. The Fitzroy supporters' loyalty didn't seem to translate.
I don't think Brisbane have the AFL's love as much as what the Swans do.
No, that's right.
I'm just putting that out there.
Fair call.
Bombers and Kangaroos. That was an interesting game.
An interesting game. Remember a few years back, the Kangaroos and the Bombers played a game where they... I think one team was in front by about 8 goals and then they came back. I can't remember.
That was the final. Wasn't that one of the finals?
I'm not sure if it was a final, but there were like 22 goals, 16 against 24 goals, 14. And we've got an alarm ringing.
That's not us.
We're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay. Anyway, okay. It's
not
surprising.
Not to leave the building unless it's burning down.
It's not surprising that Essendon and North Melbourne play interesting games, but Essendon basically hadn't scored at halftime and then only lost by a couple of goals.
Yeah, they came back and then Kangaroos didn't score much at all in the second half. So I think they were saved by the bell.
I got you.
And I've got a sound effect for you.
Yeah, but perhaps we're the only ones who can
hear. Yeah, that's right. Mm. Hawks and the Dockers.
I didn't see it. I was training
at the
weekend.
Didn't see it?
No, I was training at the weekend.
Did you doing research for this show?
I've been researching much more important things than Fremantle having another loss.
Well, the first half, it was actually quite a close contest, but it was very, very wet and windy. I think there was one definite scoring end, which is always a problem down there.
And I have had it confirmed that Fremantle have played Hawthorn in Tasmania more often than any other club in the comp.
Oh, okay.
So
we usually...
But we'll have sorted that because we'll finish bottom six, Hawthorn will finish top six, and we won't have to go to Tasmania next year, the way the fixturing works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that.
I can never figure all that out.
I have inside fixturing. Knowledge, but, you know, like, really, let's move on.
You're friends with Eddie McGuire. He seems to have influence over the fixture. What else?
Tigers. Let's talk about the Tigers.
All right.
Oh, straight to the Tigers.
Straight to the Tigers. Who have we skipped?
You've skipped the Giants and Magpies. But, yeah, okay, let's talk about it. So we know you need to get this off your chest. You've been waiting all week to get here and talk about it on air.
Well, the wheel's been turning. The wheel has slowly been turning. If you listen to Dimmer, it's been a couple of weeks in the making, and then Sammy Lloyd delivered everybody's childhood dream.
Kicked a goal after the siren.
Do you know what? I actually watched the last 2 minutes of that game probably about three or four times, and I cried the first time I watched it. The emotion of the Richmond players, at all, like the feeling of winning when you think you're going to lose.
And the roar of the crowd. There is nothing like the roar of the Tiger Army.
Yeah.
No. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Tiger.
Yeah.
But
everyone
the
just
crowd
went
erupted.
Nuts. It was just, it was one of those footy moments.
You're pretty right there.
Yeah. So congrats to Lloyd. Congrats to the Tigers.
Aussie rules is a great game. So when it happens like that, we all get excited.
But it was down Sydney's end. I thought, and there was like 17 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. And they
Sydney made
up.
About half a dozen mistakes in that last minute.
Dean Towers,
Buddy was like 15 metres away towards the boundary line, and he just had tunnel vision and just went straight down the line.
Mm.
So they shouldn't, it was very un-Sydney-like those last 2 minutes, but Richmond will take whatever they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you won by a point, and I always enjoy watching Sydney lose. So
it had to be a goal. So, you know, a point wasn't going to do it, so it had to be a goal. That's maximum pressure after the siren.
And he didn't hesitate either. He just went for it.
He's a country kid from Deniliquin, and apparently Richmond drafted him off the back of kicking 100-plus goals in the country league. So if anyone wanted the ball to kick the goal after the siren, it was Lloyd.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Loved it. I enjoyed it, even though I'm not a Tigers supporter. Giants thrashed Gold Coast. So that was they've been thrashed about 3 weeks in a row. Melbourne beat Brisbane. Unfortunately, I didn't tip them.
Tipping's a mugs game.
Well, I'm actually in Bree's tipping competition, and last year I won it. This year, I have no hope, so I'm going for the jackpot. We'll get 9 out of 9.
So did you tip Carlton to win their fourth game in a row?
No, okay. I didn't.
All right.
It's hard to tip Carlton, isn't it? And Bulldogs and Eagles with comfortable wins this week. So, interesting. Some interesting games, and there were some, you know, normal run-of-the-mill games. But we've had some sad news in the AFL this week, and Jared Roughead has been re-diagnosed with cancer. It's been quite amazing to, you know, as a Hawks supporter, obviously I feel very close to him. but it has been amazing to see the support that's come from
Far and wide,
right across all teams and players and coaches and just the team, supporters. It's been amazing. So
he's a champion player and by all reports a good bloke. So people have been wishing him well. Chicks Talking Footy wish Jared Roughead well as well.
We should send him an official message.
Okay, then.
I got an email from Hawthorn today saying you can send a message to Jared Roughead and they're going to put it in a book.
Nice.
Hmm.
Well, I hope it goes well and early diagnosis is key. So I hope that he recovers well.
Yes. And we'd also love to hear from you. If you what was your highlight of round 8? You can SMS 0427JOY949, which is 0427569 if you can't figure out where the letters and numbers collide. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We also have a Facebook page.
Yep.
Chicks Talking Footy. We have great discussions on our Facebook page.
And that's where we'll put the podcast link up
after
we've completed the show.
Beautiful. And this week being IDAHOT, is that the right acronym now?
We'll go with that.
IDAHOT Day. the AFL, some of the players have got up. Chris Dawes, Petrie, one of the St Kilda players, what's his name? Longahan, I can't remember. But a few of the players, Chris Scott, the coach of the Cats, Gillon McLachlan, all got together and put a video together standing against homophobia, which is we really appreciate that.
The AFL Players Association for us. Have been supportive for some time. That's good.
Yeah. So, and some of the clubs have done that too. I've been a bit disappointed with some of the comments that have been on Facebook.
Well, you bring out the topic into the mainstream and you'll get all sorts of commentary below the line, and that's why we have to keep talking about it.
Yeah. What's interesting, a lot of the comments were, why are we being political in football?
I think the AFL have been doing that for a while now. I think people should get used to it.
Yeah, well, they do it in other areas. They have breast cancer. Well, breast cancer around last week as well. So there's the Melbourne and Carlton? Melbourne, someone played. They wore their pink Guernseys and raise awareness for breast cancer. So they're doing all sorts of things.
Bulldogs,
this year.
Wasn't it?
Bulldogs, that's right. That's
Aussie
right.
Rules is a reflection of the country at large. So we've played footy and netball mostly in country towns and cities across the country forever. And it's a part of our culture. And so the discussions happen in that place.
Yeah. Actually, it was funny driving. We drove back from Adelaide on Saturday. And it was just amazing seeing every, you know, so many country towns, there was a game of footy on. Yeah, I was driving down the highway. I probably saw about four or five games.
Did you see any girls play? Any young girls?
Probably
women?
Couldn't tell, but yeah.
From a distance, probably driving.
Yeah, yeah, I was focused on driving. But it was just, I had that warm-hearted, like, wow, just in the middle of nowhere, there's always still AFL games going
on. Yeah, I love that too. And in summer, there's a cricket game happening in every park. I love that too. I always stop and watch for a minute if I can.
Yeah, exactly. You're on Chicks Talking Footy. We're going to be back in a moment to talk to Celia McIntosh, one of the D's players from the women's game that's happening on Sunday at the MCG between Melbourne and Brisbane.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Fiona, Danae and Bree tonight from our Interchange Bench. And we have a message from one of the other members of our Interchange Bench, Beck, who is a Crow supporter. She said, next Patrick Dangerfield Cup, I suppose we go double or nothing. If the Crows win, we get Danger and Selwood. Have a great show.
Ooh,
thanks,
imagine.
Beck.
Thank you.
Yes, I suppose the Crows have got their tails between their legs this week.
0427.
Yep.
Joy 949. Send us a message.
Now, we have a very special guest with us in the studio tonight. Her name is Cecilia McIntosh. She's an all-round overachiever. And she is going to be playing for the D's, Melbourne against Brisbane Lions, at the MCG on Sunday. There's the curtain raiser match before the men's game. Welcome to the studio, Cecilia. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to call you C, if that's all right, because Cecilia is actually quite a long name.
It is a hard name.
It's very hard, yes.
Yeah. Well, what's your nickname? C-bomb.
C-bomb.
We might not use that.
No, just get C.
Because we don't want to drop the C-bomb. Hey?
Reminds me of Emily Seabomb in the swimming.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So we
get confused all over the place.
We can't call Cecilia Emily.
Now, like many women who play football or any sport, there seems to be a lot of women that have played many sports or been involved in sports in different levels. I know you're playing in the AFL and you've been playing for a little while, but what have you done before you were an AFL player champion?
I started out as a track and field athlete. And was a javelin thrower. So went to the Commonwealth Games and I did World Junior Championships, World Cup, all for javelin throwing. And then...
Javelin. Sorry, I've got to interrupt right there. What, did you do little athletics when you were a kid?
Yeah, I started at the age of five, yeah.
And you just love throwing things?
Oh, I didn't start throwing the javelin until I was about 14.
Because
at Little Laths, you're not allowed to throw the javelin. It's too dangerous. So
yeah, fair enough.
Didn't pick it up till later on in my
teenagehood.
How heavy is a javelin?
600 grams for the women.
Okay. There's some trivia. 600 grams.
Just in case you go to a sports trivia night.
So you became a champion javelin thrower?
Yep.
Okay. That's got to be the only person we'll talk to all year who's a javelin champ.
We were on a bobsled team too?
Yep. Back in 2010, I got recruited for for bobsled. Through my track and field background, I had a friend that went to the previous Olympics and said, look, you'd be great at this. Why don't you come over to the States and trial? And I went over and did well.
Was that fun?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. It doesn't compare to anything. I mean, I've jumped out of a plane before as well, and it doesn't compare. Like, bobsledding is awesome.
So what are the key attributes you need? Do you need a burst of pace and a strong core?
So speed, powerful legs, and still a strong upper body, because you've still got to, at the start, push the sled from the start. So
that's where I'd get stuck. So that'd be the end of my bobsledding career.
I think almost all of those elements, we would all get stuck.
Now, so how did you get involved in football after all of that?
So I actually started playing football before I went to and did the bobsled. After I retired from javelin throwing through injury, a friend of mine said, look, why don't you come down and play footy? She played for Melbourne Uni, and I said, look, I'll come down as soon as my javelin career is over. So, yeah, that happened. I retired, and I started pre-season a couple of months later for football, and I've not looked back.
And so, yeah, so you play with Melbourne Uni Muggers.
Muggers, yep. That's it.
In the VFL.
Yep, that's the one.
Yep, and you've got 10 teams in the VFL.
Yep.
How is Melbourne Uni going this season?
We're doing really well. We're sitting close to the top of the ladder. Playing really good football at the moment. Had a bit of a loss on the weekend, but we'll bounce back from that in 2 weeks' time when we get another shot, round seven.
And you've got the women's game versus Brisbane this week.
Yep.
So is there a bye round in the VFL?
Yeah, so it's a bye round for the VFL. The other teams play, so Premier League and that, they still play, but VFL have the bye this weekend.
Yep. Okay. And you've come into camp. Like, is it a camp feel when you come together to play these exhibition matches a couple of times a year?
Usually, yeah. This one not so much. We have two training sessions tomorrow and Friday night.
Yeah.
So that'll be, it's kind of like a camp. We'll spend a bit of time together, and then sort of work out where we're gonna be playing and getting a feel for the team and camaraderie and that. So
Cecilia, 6 months ago, you might not have thought you'd be playing this weekend.
Possibly not. Would have thought that it might have been too soon.
Yeah. And that's because of a knee reco.
Yeah, I did my knee in the first of the draft games last year. So I did it on the MCG pretty much 12 months to the day that we'll be playing on the weekend.
Well, that's pretty spectacular, doing your knee on the G. Well done on that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess you've been a javelin champ, a bobsledder and a footballer. That's probably not the first time you've had a major injury.
No, it will be my seventh major injury that I've had to have surgery for.
And that'd be mostly shoulders with javelin? Because I can't imagine why you'd throw your shoulder out while you're doing javelin.
Three shoulder recos, elbow reco, obviously the knee reco. I tore my hamstring off the bone. Also I had osteitis pubis. So
not selling it at the moment.
Spectacular overachiever.
I keep bouncing back,
So, I mean, because you often, I mean, we talk about injuries in football, don't we? We go, oh, yeah, they've got an ACL injury, but you don't realise how much pain these people are in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how frustrating it would also be to be on the sidelines for that amount of time and not be able to do your sport, play your footy.
Yeah. And I'm also guessing that we should explain that Cecilia is 160 centimetres.
About that.
So you're not the ruck.
No, definitely not the ruck. Although I can jump, so if I had to go up and punch a ball as far as I could, I might be able to do it.
And you're not a glamorous blonde midfielder.
Definitely not. Full of tattoos, and no, I'm not.
All right, so you're a halfback flanker.
That's it.
We think that's fantastic.
We do.
She's talking footy.
I was very excited when she found that out.
Yeah, love halfback flankers. So how have you seen the game improve its standard? You're a veteran.
Yes.
How many games have you played?
I've played 99 club games.
Brilliant.
Wow. Yep.
So do you get your number on a locker or something, game 100? Oh, what happens?
I would love to.
Do you run through a banner?
We get a banner, though.
Awesome.
So hopefully the muggers are working on that.
All the best for that.
Thanks.
That'd be great. So 99 club games, and you've seen the standard improve over those years?
Oh, definitely. From my first year. So my first year was in 2007. And I thought obviously that that was a good standard, but to be running out there now after playing on the MCG in the big exhibition match last year, and now even the standard from last year to this year playing,
that's amazing.
It's definitely.
And what's helping that?
I think especially the academies that all the states have had. I know here in Victoria we started our academy back in November, and I think that's been essential to the improvement of the girls, because at the VFL, the level I play at the VFL, it's a faster game, it's a harder game, and even the not as stronger teams, they're still making you work hard to get the win.
Yeah, that's great. So is the level of coaching and support that's improving as well?
Yeah, the access that we have to the coaching now and everything is a lot better, and a lot of the male coaches that have come from, say, VFL clubs or even AFL clubs, it's been a great help.
Yeah, because it's... I've just read today there's 163 new female football clubs were established in 2015.
How good's that?
It's amazing. And there are now 629 female clubs throughout the country. So I had no idea that there would be that many. I suppose a lot of them are the country,
yeah,
alongside the men's clubs there. But they're now sort of really becoming quite high profile, a lot more high profile. So. Yeah.
So you're an elder statesperson of the comp now. Are you getting to feed back into the system and the advisory group that are going to decide on how many teams there are in the league next year?
I've been asked a couple of times about it. And originally I thought that six teams would be enough, mm-hmm, and that we probably shouldn't go over that. But after having the academy and everything, I think they should push for the 10, because I've seen the improvement of just having the academy and letting other girls come into it and from other sports, the improvement of women's footy just in 6 months has been outstanding. So if they were to have 10 teams, it would grow quicker.
Yeah, great.
Well, now we've got to get along and support them.
Absolutely.
And cheer you along.
Get along and watch your game. Now, I want to ask a frivolous question after you, Fee.
No, that's okay. You go first.
Do you have a pre-match superstition? Do you eat pasta on Friday nights or Sunday nights? Or?
I actually do have pasta the night before a game. Yeah. But so if we play on a Sunday, though, that would be a Saturday night.
Yeah.
I guess I keep to the same routine, you know.
Routine's different to superstition.
Got your lucky socks on.
Football socks. So they're the same socks every week.
Yeah, true. Okay, then. So the Melbourne D's will be playing the Brisbane Lions. How have the Brisbane Lions been playing?
They look all right.
We watched a bit of their game against, mm-hmm, the Gold Coast when they did the curtain raiser up there. That seemed to be...
You'll get a first look at Taylor Harris.
Oh, look, I hope so. Be all right. She'll have a bit of hide on me, but I think I could take her.
Little bit. So that's at 10:05 on Sunday, May the 22nd. So
that's
this Sunday. Kids are free, and
you can get your own kid.
You can get
in for free.
You don't have to pay for your kids,
right?
Yeah, buy kids anymore.
Gotcha.
So, and it's going to be broadcast live on a Fox Footy.
Yeah,
and you can also listen on the media call on afl.com.au/women. So it'll be podcast there or announced there. So very exciting. Well done. And we'll be cheering you on Sunday morning. And I hope the D's go well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Lee.
We'll be talking Purple Bombers in just a moment for the Hide Ida Hot event that Danae and I went to.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talkin' Footy with Fiona and Danae.
We've had a message today. It's from Zoe. She said, "Hi, girls, loving the show. Thanks, Zoe. I think you'd find that it is IDA Hobbit."
Yeah.
So
International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia.
And she said, "Keep up the good work." So
we'll
try to do that, Zoe. We're certainly very passionate about our footy, so we will do that. But speaking of Ida Hobbit,
yes,
and Danae, that's going to help me remember it, actually.
Yeah.
Danae and I went to the Purple Bombers event last night. So the, mm-hmm, Purple Bombers are the supporters for the Essendon, or the LGBTIQ supporters group for the Essendon Football Club. And we had a great night, didn't we, Danae?
We did have a good night. It was packed. There were loads of people.
Yeah,
Some blue roos.
Yeah.
Some blue roos came along.
Some rainbow swans flew down from Sydney.
Yeah, that's great.
Russell Green, the Hawthorn champion, was there. Simon Madden, some of the Essendon football players.
So there were half a dozen footballers from Essendon's...
I stole Simon Madden's beer.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
He was a bit cross about that.
Daniel Whithouse spoke, a great advocate for GLBTIQ people for a long time. There were stories from Purple Bombers members themselves, and Jason, who we spoke to a couple of weeks ago as the president, gave a chat as well. It was a terrific night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the people I talked to, well, I talked to a lot of people.
You did. You were networking. Working the room.
It was just lovely to be there. And I was also listening to people. And Fairfax journalist Rowan Connolly, who's a bomber, I asked him why it was important to have a coterie group like the Purple Bombers.
A bit of, not authenticity, but I think it's formal recognition that there's a lot of different people who follow the game. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of gay and transgender and bi people that follow football. And I think, you know, the football world's becoming a lot more accepting of that. But I think just having that formal recognition that this group is part of the formal support network of the club takes it a step further. And you'd hope that this will be the first of similar groups at other AFL clubs. And I think the more people who are perhaps dragging their heels a bit on equality issues see this, the more they realise, well, you know, we've got to contemporise our thinking, if you like.
So what does it do to move the AFL along in terms of dealing with inclusion in governance and policy and strategy?
Well, again, I just think it's more recognition. And I think the AFL has shown over a long time now that they're prepared to get involved in social welfare type issues. But I think there is a bit of a feeling that sexual equality is one perhaps they've not lagged behind, but I think they've had to be pushed a little bit more than a few people hoped. And, you know, there's a Pride game this year, of course, which is great. But I just think the more things that eventuate like this, the more that people running the AFL will see, well, you know, we have to not only lend our support to these things, but actually be actively involved. And, you know, they've done it on issues like race and religious tolerance and things like that for a long time now. So why shouldn't this be treated exactly the same way and attract as much support from them as those other causes?
So our program is Chicks Talking Footy. We get 30 minutes on Joy each Wednesday night, which is a lot of fun. How excited are you, if you are, about the possibility of a National Women's Football League, which is not going to be called the AWFL, I hope? What do you think about the participation of women at a national level?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, again, I mean, women have comprised a larger percentage of the support for AFL than most other football codes I can think of. For a long time. So it's only logical, really. And I've had a little bit of an involvement. My daughter played women's football for about 4 years and loved every minute of it. And I've got to say...
Sorry to interrupt, but did she love tackling the most?
Yes. Yes. Skills left a bit to be desired. I hope she doesn't hear this, but she loved the tackling.
Every woman I talk to talks about their daughters really loving the tackling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's pretty physical in her endeavours, so that certainly appealed. But when I first started watching her play, you know, I wasn't expecting much, but straight away I was very impressed with the standard. And, you know, I've seen, like a lot of people, watch the exhibition games, so Melbourne and the Bulldogs have played, and the standard's great, you know, and I think anyone who's a bit sceptical about it should actually take the time to have a look at it, because I think they'll be surprised. So, look, I think it's fantastic, and it's obviously going to generate more support among women, not only to watch AFL, but to play Australian football, and that can only be a positive thing.
That was Rowan Donnelly, a footy writer for The Age. We're going to have to wrap up the show now, so thanks for coming in off the interchange bench tonight, Bree McCauley, and I'll see you next week, Danae, and we'll have Rachel Hopkins, another Hawkey, on the show. Now we're going to be handing over to Hide and Seek, and for a little bit more of your adult entertainment with Dean Beck and the team. See you next week. Footy, 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 this is you, Dean.
Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.